Oh, we need another one up here for Judy. I'll just pass this one over to you. No, you'll need it for that. Okay, let's try it now. How's that? Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to want to welcome everybody to Town Council tonight, February 3rd. It's my hubby's birthday, 2022. I'm leaving him home alone. So, but welcome everybody. It looks like we have a quorum tonight. So first thing we'll do is say the Pledge of Allegiance. So everybody will stand and face the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. I want you to know, Elizabeth, I have a nice big blue pen, so I don't think get things mixed up tonight. We're going to approve the minutes from January. Judy wasn't able to get the December one, so those will roll till March, and we'll approve those at the March Town Council. Has everybody had a chance to read the minutes for January?
Yes. Yes.
Do we have any additions or changes or anything?
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes as presented.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Jim, aye.
Gladys, aye.
Steve, aye.
Judy, aye. Elizabeth?
Elizabeth, aye.
Can you hear us okay, Elizabeth?
Elizabeth, aye. Can you not hear me?
Yeah, we can. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. We have taken care of that one. Colleen Engel, I put her at the top. She was talking to us about codifying the minutes, and she was going to do a little two, three minute.
Peg's raised her hand.
What's the matter?
Peg has a comment.
Oh, she'll tell us. Go ahead, Peg. I was just going to give you the go.
Judy, I just barely got a video from Colleen like a half an hour ago. So it's a large file. I brought it up and I'm going to try to share screen. It's a 7 minute long video that explains what we're talking about. Okay. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Let me try it. It may not work, but let me give it a go here.
Hello, welcome to the product demonstration for American Legal Publishing. Today we will be going over our online meeting minutes solution. The presenter for the day is myself, Colleen Engel. I've been with American Legal approximately 5 years, and I've been working in and around local government for approximately 25 years.
Okay.
If you'd like to jot down some contact information, here is my email, my direct contact line, our 1-800 office line, and also our new Twitter address. We'll now move to my desktop where I can begin presenting to you our online hosted meeting minutes solution. The first is what typically folks are doing these days. And what they usually do is, on their website, right now we're on the website for the City of Cypress, California, they'll set up a page, and they'll store their meeting minutes based on the year. And then as they have each meeting, depending on what kind of a meeting it is, special meeting, strategic planning, city council meeting, they'll just post a PDF document of that meeting minutes content. And what they have the ability to do with an individual PDF, if they have no other solution, it's great. What they can do is they could do a search and I could search for the word Peter. Maybe I'm curious if there was a presenter or if that was when our city manager was Peter Brandt, or what Peter may have said at that meeting. And you can see it down to instances. So this is very helpful. Where this system of storing your meeting minutes falls down is that you have to search each one individually. So if you're not sure where an individual spoke and you're trying to find their name, or you're trying to find a project name, the name of a certain project that your municipality may be working on, this gets rather cumbersome because you have to go document by document. And now I'm going to switch over to one of our clients who hosts their meeting minutes online. And that's Knightdale, North Carolina. And you'll see on this landing page, it actually gives you a brief description of the meeting minutes and the advisory boards that they'll actually contain information for on our website. And you can see it's broken down similarly to what the other municipalities were doing with their meeting minutes. We can put the year, we can put the month, and then we can host the different documents that they have for each month. And you can see in December, they had two council meetings. Let's go on down to the October meetings. And you can see where now we start getting into the Veterans Memorial Advisory Board, land use, and things like this. This is where it gets very interesting and where your search capabilities take off. When I go to my search screen, and I'm now going to click on our search screen, what we would have the ability to do is search for the word Peter. And what I'm able to do is actually search, instead of searching codes and searching everything else, I could search meeting minutes, and now I can put a date range. So I could search for that word Peter, and I could go to January, let's say 2018, and say, let's search from there, January 1st through current date, okay? And then I want to search for that word Peter, and let's see what we come up with. We come up with January the 24th of 2019. That's great. So we used the same word that we did on our Cypress website, and we found that in this meeting minutes, we found that document. We search for something a little more generic and see if we can't find more documents. Let's do the word concert. Now look what we found. Now we have found things in the Parks and Rec Advisory Board, and it's a meeting minute from 2019. July 2019. Then we come down a little further. We find the town council has been talking about for a concert. So it makes it real easy to find that work product that we stored online. I had the opportunity to then open that meeting minute. And then I have the opportunity to either print it or I can download it. I'm downloading it now, and here he shows up at the top of my screen as a PDF. So very simple to do, but what it has created is a database of all those meeting minutes. So clients can go back as far as they would like. In Knightdale's particular situation, they went back to 2017, and they're through to the current day. So it makes it rather nice to be able to search all that content in one moment. Perhaps what we wanted to search for was COVID. And we want to see where COVID popped up in their meeting minutes. Let's do COVID. Let's do our meeting minutes. Let's put our date. And we're not going to go back quite as far because we know that just started in 2020. We'll go with January 1, 2020. And we'll go to current day. So now let's see if we can't find all those meeting minutes where COVID was a topic. So more meaningful to today's searches is where we might want to search for where the topic of COVID came up in our different meetings, what the outcomes were from our town council meetings, and things like that. So It's very robust. It's extremely fast. And highly suggest that you take a look at it. Again, if you'd like to jot down some contact information. There is the contact information. So feel free to reach out, and I sure appreciate you taking the time today.
Is this like, are we switching our programs up to this?
No, what this is for the minutes, of every town council meeting that we have. And so she mentioned it to Peg, and she thought it would be good to give a presentation. I mean, the idea behind it is really, really cool. Anything else you want to add to that, Peg?
Yes, she also sent along a proposal, which I haven't opened yet. And if you could give me a minute, I'll try to find that document. You can talk about something else while I'm searching here.
Anyway, getting to know the system is the big thing, I believe. Now that I'm getting around it a little bit more and practicing a little bit more, it's frustrating when you're looking for something really quick and you haven't spent a whole lot of time in it. But I'm telling you, once you get to learn to move around that thing, it's really nice, the codified ordinances. And to me, this looks like a good deal if it's cost effective and if you guys want to do it. She just barely got this, so I guess if push comes to shove, we could always bring it up next meeting after we have a chance to think about it. Peg, can the town council okay this, or is this something that we have to change or put an ordinance in for codifying these? What do we have to do?
No, as I understand it, we've got a contract already with American Legal to do the codification of our ordinances, so this would be some extension of that contract to include meeting minutes. And I did just find that document. So let me put that up here. And you can I'm not sure how many pages it is, but okay. Can you see a document up there now?
No.
Not yet?
Yeah, we have it.
Okay, so I guess it's kind of giant. I'll just have to, it's not very big, but so you can see what the proposal is for. I'll forward a copy of this to all of you. I don't think it's something you want to decide tonight, but I wanted to show the video in the meeting, and then I'll just forward a copy of this contract to the town council.
That'd be good. Everybody good with that?
Yeah.
Okay, so Judy, clarification. Right now we have a contract with them for codifying our ordinances. They're wanting us to know if we're interested in also paying for codifying
the minutes.
Our minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, that's basically what it is, you know. All right, Peg, why don't you go ahead and do that and send it to the council, and then we'll put it on the agenda for next month, and that'll give us a chance to read through it and see what we want to do.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the other thing, we got the 2021-5 RV and the 2021-7 ADU ordinance have been codified. They're in there now if you want to look them up. So they're all done. All right. Do we have Randy Ripplinger here? Are you online, Randy? Is Randy online?
There's a couple with no names, but I don't see.
We have to fill the position of the Board of Adjustments. I was going to say that, but we found out there's going to be two positions opening because April is leaving us and moving to Wyoming. So we've got to post that job. Because both Randy Ripplinger and Daryl Fuller applied for that position, would fill both positions. And so are they both online or? Oh, good, good. Then, so what we'll have you do, Daryl, we'll have you come up and speak first since you are here. Come up to the podium right here. Tell us a little bit about yourself, why you want the position, qualifications. Tell us your name and tell that we got a record of
it. Okay. I'm Daryl Fuller. My family, we've owned some land in town for a few decades now. Bill and Ada Cox out in Salt Gulch, they were my aunt and uncle. So as a kid, I used to come out here and move sprinkler pipe. So we're in the process of building a place up in the subdivision in King's Ranch. And so we are hoping to be here for quite a long time. And as far as qualifications go, I guess my day job right now, I'm swinging a hammer to get someplace warm to live in. But my day job, I'm a patent attorney. So as far as reading boring documents and communicating things with boring documents, it's just kind of, I don't know, it's what I do. So I feel like I could help, and I definitely want to help the town. And I kind of just want to be more, participate and help out where I can. So I guess that's about it.
Okay, thank you. Is Randy up there?
Yeah.
Okay, Randy, you want to give us a little bit of, we all know you pretty well, so just tell us what you want to tell us.
Okay, well, we live here about 30 years now. I have sat on the town council in an elected position and also in an appointed position. So I'm familiar with how that process works. I am familiar with the board of adjustments in that and what's required of them, and generally not a lot in our community. I served as an EMP for Boulder in a voluntary position for 12 years. Also served on the fire department. And I'd like to be involved in this particular process.
Okay, thank you. Do any of the council members have any questions for either one of these gentlemen? Well, we have two positions open. To me, it kind of makes sense. We got two people volunteering, and it's a good place to learn that kind of stuff. So, Daryl, because you stepped up first, I'm going to make a motion to appoint you to the Board of Adjustment. Let's see. First, we have to decide. Tina Carlson, her position is open, and then how long have you been in the zoning? Oh, I'm sorry.
1 year.
1 year? Mm-hmm. So yours would be 4 years, mm-hmm. correct? Because the Board of Adjustment's 5 years. Mm-hmm. And then Tina, I didn't bring my list. Does anybody recall how long? Tina, are you there?
She's up.
Okay.
Judy, let me find my paper that gives those terms. Because I think both Tina and April were filling in terms themselves. So
okay.
Let me locate that.
So maybe what I'll do is appoint, because Randy has the experience, we'll put Randy in the longest position and then Daryl in the other position, and he can learn as we go. Does that sound okay with everyone? Okay. So I make a motion right now to appoint Randy Ricklinger to fill April's position on the Board of Adjustments. Do I have a second?
Jim seconds it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye. Gladys.
Steve, aye.
Jim, aye.
Judy, aye.
Elizabeth, aye.
Okay. And Daryl, we're going to put you in Tina Carl's position, and Peg will let us know exactly how long that is. I make a motion to appoint Daryl Fuller to the Board of Adjustments in the position to replace Tina Carlson. Do I have a second?
Yes.
Okay. Gladys seconded. Is all in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, aye.
Judy, aye.
Elizabeth, aye.
Okay, motion carried. So we have our Board of Adjustment positions filled again. And we will go ahead and post April's position as zoning administrator. And she will probably be leaving the 1st of March. She told me she'd be here so that she could help me through what she's doing now. And hopefully I can talk Peg into doing the other part up there that she does so well until we get somebody to fill in. So, and then April said even if she did move, if we still had it advertised, she'd do what she could until we could find someone to fill the position. And if they needed her help after she had moved on anything, she would be glad to help. So I was concerned about that. That's such an important position. All right. The ethics and training meeting. Judy?
Peg has a comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Peg.
I'm sorry. So Tina's position it expired January of 2024. And April's position expired January of 2026. So you wanted Randy in the longest one?
Yeah, the longest one.
Okay. So through December 2023. So yeah. I'll send out information to both of these guys.
Okay, thanks, Peg. All right, Judy, ethics training, you're on. Oh, let's get this over here so we can hear you.
Be honest. There we go. Okay. I'm going through this again, given this lots of times, but still. Okay. Just to start with, all municipal officers and employees must abide by the Municipal Officers and Employees Ethics Act. And you don't have to read the whole thing. It's just basic. Do what's right. But the purpose of the act is to establish standards of conduct for municipal officers and employees and to require disclosure of any personal conflicts you might have with something that's being discussed at any one meeting. The law applies to all elected and appointed officers and employees of a city. Okay, the law makes it a crime, not just the slap on the hands, but a crime. If you disclose, or any of these people that it covers, improperly use private control or protected information that you acquire through your position with the town. If you use those for some kind of personal gain. If you attempt to use an official position to further substantially your personal economic interest or secure special privileges for yourself, that actually is a crime, a punishable crime under the law. You may not knowingly receive, accept, take, seek, or solicit directly or indirectly a gift of substantial value or economic benefit that would maybe bend your decisions in that person's way. That's, we can't do that. I mean, this is just so obvious. I feel silly saying it, but we have to do it. An officer or employee may not receive compensation for assisting any person or entity in any transaction with the city or town without making a written oral disclosure to the mayor and the public. I read that a couple of times, and it sounds like if you do it, tell somebody so that it won't look like you're trying to sneak around and get personal gain somehow. Also, an officer or employee may not receive compensation for assisting any person or entity in a transaction with the town without making a written oral disclosure to the mayor and the council. There are a few exceptions. For one, an employee or officer receiving an occasional gift having less than the value of $50, you're okay. Also, if there's a publicly presented award given to you, it's okay to take it. A loan made in the course of business, so many of these just don't seem to apply here, but now here's a good one. If you make a sizable campaign contribution, that's not good. Let's see, I'm trying to skip over some of these that really don't seem to apply. So if you violate any of those things, you may be dismissed from employment or removed from office and be guilty of, depending on the situation, a felony, a second degree felony, a third degree felony, a class A misdemeanor or a class B misdemeanor with their attendant punishments. That's a bad word. Results. truly, it goes on and on for pages, but there's also disclosure if something happens that may be perceived as being something shady in your situation. You can either give written or oral a disclosure of what happened and be on the up and up. Then it tells us the following must be disclosed: agreements to receive compensation for assisting any person or business that involves the municipality. Whether an officer or municipal employee is an officer, director, agent, or employee, or the owner of a business that's doing business with the town. So many of these just don't apply, but here they are. If the conflict involves an agreement for compensation to assist a person in their business with the municipality, you need to disclose that by producing the name and address of the officer or employee, the name and address of the person or business entity being assisted, and then a brief description of the transaction itself. And, you know, then it can go from there, either be decided that it is or isn't a conflict. So basically, just be on the up and up. Don't try to get somebody on the council to do a favor, or don't you do somebody in the town a favor that would benefit you some way, especially financially. And the other one is Open and Public Meetings Act. Should be able to do this with my eyes closed. basically, the law requires that the state and its political subdivisions exist to aid in the conduct of the people's business, and that they are to take their actions openly, and that their deliberations are to be conducted openly. Every meeting is to be open to the public. Occasionally, there's an occasion for the council to go to a closed session where they physically get up and walk out and go to another room, but there are only a very few circumstances that that can happen. For instance, discussing if you're looking to hire somebody, if there's a need to go in and discuss that person's qualifications and character and honesty, and I mean whatever might need to be discussed about a person can be done in closed meeting, but that closed meeting can only be had after it's introduced in this open meeting. There's a motion made to go into closed session. They go in, go to closed session, come back and open the meeting back up again. That rarely, we don't have many of those. Any expenditure of money or enacting taxes or other kind of revenue has to be done in open meeting. And if there's not a quorum present, there's no meeting. You can't make, just sit and visit, but you can't make any town decisions in a meeting that doesn't have a quorum of its people present. Okay, minimal notice has to be given that there will be a meeting, and that we do that. Also, annually we have to publish or post a notice of when the meetings will be held during the year. At the town council, it's the first Thursday of every month at 7 o'clock, and that's annually we have to post that in different places. Okay, both the annual notice and the notice requirements for each meeting are satisfied by posting the written notice at the principal office of the public body. I was here in the dark last night posting it on this bulletin board. Sorry, almost was late, but not quite. The notice must include the date, time, and place of the meetings. And each meeting has to have its own notice. We can't just put up one notice that says there will be a meeting on every first Thursday at 7 o'clock. That doesn't cut it. They also encourage us to have, and this is new, meetings that can be attended by people not in the building. Comically, that counts. Really, it goes on and on, but basically, it says over and over again, the public's business has to be conducted in the open, has to be open to the public. Because generally all parts of meetings are required to be open to the public. There are, however, as always, some circumstances when a portion of a meeting or all of a meeting may be closed to the public. These are intended to be very limited exceptions, and every meeting, even one anticipated to be closed, must be convened and begin with a public meeting. And I think I said that earlier. I things I've already covered. Okay, this, I'm not sure, this is an old book. I found it when I was cleaning out today. And things may have changed since then, but it does say all these years ago that the law requires that written minutes be kept of all meetings and an appropriate record of closed meetings be kept. That they can include minimal detail. The written minutes of an open meeting must include date, time, and place, and other things. The closed portion of a meeting, and this I didn't know, and I don't know if it's changed since this old book was written, but it says the closed portion of the meeting must also be tape recorded, and that those minutes are protected records. Don't go into types of records, but
it's still that way in the new book.
And so that's basically open meetings is the public's business has to include the public in deliberations and everything. So there you have it.
Thank you.
I remember correctly in there, the meetings that it was talking about being closed, it had to be recorded and everything, really doesn't apply to us much. It has a lot to do with loans and bonds and a lot of financial and legal stuff that we normally don't do. So, and when we talk about character, when we go in and discuss qualifications and character in the closed meetings, those kind of meetings do not have to be recorded. So,
all right. Matt sent me a message and wanted the town council to give them some direction for this up and coming year. And so I sent that to you to give you a few days to kind of take a look or to think about what we might want the planning commission, the direction we might want them to go this year. And so the one thing I really want to see done, I want to get these ordinances codified and out of the way. To me, that should be a number one thing. And I know they want to get them out of the way too. So has anybody else on the council got an idea of what you'd like to see the planning commission do this year?
I just think their priority should be getting all the ordinances, you know, codified in place so that we're up to date on the ordinances.
Okay. Well, we can, as we go down the road, we, you know, if we have stuff, we can send it on to the planning commission if something comes up. Steve did send me an email about transportation. He said that, does the planning commission, are they still interested in doing a study on transportation? So I don't recall that. Do you recall that, Gladys?
Oh, we talked about it sometime, but it seems to me that we did one when Mayor Gailey was mayor, right, Judy? I guess a lot of it is, okay, what is it that we want to know? You know, and at that time, I think that we were looking at all the platted roads, you know what I mean? And checking them out. I think we were looking at, okay, what's feasible to keep as a, because basically the plats just took it and laid down a square and they didn't look to see, oh, there's canyons here or gullies or mountains here. You know what I mean? They just, so that's what we were looking at. But I would say on the transportation, we need, well, what is it we want to know before we do the transportation study?
Yeah. Jimmy, Elizabeth, have you got anything?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't at this time.
Okay. Jimmy and I sat into a DOT and a Main Street meeting. It's a collaboration. It was really quite informative. We were both excited when we got off. So hopefully in the near future with roads and stuff with the DOT, huh, we can work together with them and maybe work out some things, because we really do have some issues on our main street, parking and other things. So, all right, well, we'll send that on. Hopefully some of them are listening. We'll keep you busy. We'll figure out something. I'm sure you will too. All right, next on the agenda, Debaki sent us an email. She wanted to get on the agenda. So Debaki, you may have to, it sounds like, looks like that one isn't ready. So if you want to come down to maybe that one down by Gladys and give us an idea of what you're looking at.
That's kind of an overview.
Oh,
okay. Okay. Can you hear me? Does it work with the mic on? Kind of weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
It just requires.
Okay. So what I would like to do is I would kind of, I'll introduce myself and give you a background where my idea came from. And then I actually do have an ask of the town. I moved here in 2008. I live out in the draw. And in the time since then, I have, I've been taking care of Walt Gove. He is 83 years old. He lives out in the draw. He's my neighbor. And through the last 3 years, his needs and care has increased. And we have been so fortunate that there are a handful of us that live out in the draw that are his neighbors that have been able to provide care for him in all different elements. But we have all been able to make his life really comfortable and also really safe. Walt, and he supports me in being here, so he knows that I'm talking about him. Walt has a form of epilepsy, so he has seizures. And so what I'm here for is because I really worry about what do we do when something happens. Here is an 83-year-old man whom, you know, I help take care of, and I he has seizures. And one time he had a seizure, and we called the EMTs, and they came. And it took us 3 ambulances, 2 transfers to get to Richfield. And in the process of that, I thought that I would be able to drive him. I thought that I would be able to care for him. But the truth is that when you're going over the mountain and you have an 84-year-old guy, he could have a stroke. And I mean, what would you do if you're a single person in a car? And so since then, you know, I've really been thinking a lot of what do we do in the case of an emergency? What is the process? Is who do we have to care for us? And how can we take care of ourselves? And this is just one person. And I know that there's so many more. So I just ask, you know, my question is how do you all take care of your families? And it's not just the older adults. It's the kids. There are children that need help. And I don't know how we could ever serve them. How can, what is here besides moving away for any of us? And so in thinking that and really realizing that, you know, 2 years ago in 2020 when COVID first hit, is that the town really rallied. And it was amazing because we put a call out that we needed masks made. We had 7 people sewing masks, and we were able to make masks, 2 masks for everyone that wanted one in town. And that's pretty amazing considering that we have no resources and no stores, and we were able to produce that. And then Corey has like 14,000 masks in the firehouse right now, or 10. But we've been able to supply the school with masks, with filtered masks, recently kid-sized ones. And it's just, it amazes me how the community really comes together to take care of one another and be really resourceful. So my question is, you know, everything that I have learned is I really want to know how we can serve and take care of our people. I started up a project, it's called boulderhealth.org. And what I'd like to do is create a network of starting internally of what do we have here in Boulder? Who are the people that we have that we can help each other and support each other? And whether it be bringing food to people, supporting care for each other, giving someone a drive to the hospital, to the doctor, to Escalante, but how can we care for one another? Because that's what we have to count on. And then the bigger picture is really utilizing what I do. I'm a trade show director. And so what I do is I organize people, but how can I apply that and have medical services possibly brought to Boulder the same way that we have the mammogram van come? Maybe we can have other medical services brought here, or, you know, just open the door to more opportunities, because it's all age demographics of this town that we need to make sure that we have a high quality of care and that we're taken care of.
with my project, what I'd really like to do is possibly, you know, next 5-20 years, it's going to be us who are younger taking care of the rest, because we're here and we are family and we are community. So my ask is kind of back to Judy's question just previously, is I believe that the last plan in 10 years ago, in 2010 or 2011, the Planning Commission did a census in the town to find out what some towns' needs were. What I would really love to do is maybe do a census of the town of what our healthcare needs and what our service needs are. And for all age demographics, for people who are residents, for people who are visiting, how are we going to care for visitors if something happened, to somebody in one of the, in the hotel or in the motel at the lodge? But we just, I mean, what can we do? So I would love to be able to ask the Planning Commission to possibly do a census that kind of tallies who are we as a town, who are we, what are our demographics, what are our health needs, immediate health needs, but also future health needs, and really get a pulse on what do we need to do in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years, and in the next 20 years, because we want to stay here. We want to stay here and be with one another and be able to take care of one of another. So in order to do that, we have to put that in place kind of now. And I'm just curious on how to do that. So that's just my introduction to this whole little plan that I have for the next 20 years.
Does anybody have any questions for her right now?
Judy, I may be speaking out of turn. Really, this is just an effort to express appreciation for everybody that volunteers and serves in the community, as well as just neighbors. But my wife, Susan, had a heart attack just before Christmas, and our local EMTs were there, I believe, within less than 15 minutes. They handed off, and she had medication by the time they got home there. Not only am I appreciative, but I am amazed at what 911 and our local EMTs did. I just want to say thanks. So that's part of it. I mean, I don't know that how well we add to that, but appreciate your efforts too. But thanks to the EMTs.
Thanks, Keith. I think everybody here knows the need that we have here in Boulder. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I have a suggestion for you. My contact is with you, they have a mobile clinic. Have a bus with a mobile clinic inside. They could go into outlying communities on an outreach program, and they get them once a week. You might see if you can get on that route and bring them in. Right now, we rely upon IHC, and to be quite frank about it, IHC sucks. I won't tell you my background, but I do have a couple of degrees in this. IHC is. But you might contact University Del Medical Center, so you can get on that route. I know they service outlying communities. It's a big blue bus, too. I've been on it. It's blue, and they'll put out their little tents and flags, and it's free to the public.
All right. Well, you know, we're a town. Everybody's heard this. If you have any ideas, get hold of Devaki. As far as the best thing, my own personal opinion is to see, because there's a lot of people that really do care, that might want to get involved, that might have more answers like this. And you're an organizer. So right now we're putting the word out of what you, your vision, and truthfully it is a vision that Boulder has, because look at the panel, I'll bet my little Jimmy right there.
I passed your information last night to our fire department. Also.
All right, great. Yeah.
If anything, I would love to just be able to collect the info and disseminate it as needed, because I can just, I mean, maybe that's the start, is just having one point person and having a place for these vans to park. And really, if you open yourself to these opportunities, ideally and hopefully they'll come.
I'll send you the link. It seems to me I saw something on, I think Steve sent it to me on, it's a grant on health. I'll send it to you tomorrow.
You sent me.
Meanwhile.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so the ask that Devaki is wanting is that if we can organize some kind of survey, a more updated survey, and then in addition to collecting all this, or are we saying that we should collect all the additional information first and then see if the survey is needed?
I would like to have a survey because I really feel like the voice of the community is the way that I would like to shape this project, is that I personally definitely don't have all the answers, and there's needs that I believe that I would love to at least have heard. And it's really important for everyone that lives here and that's part of it to hear, to be able to voice what they need and kind of their vision of how they can contribute. And that will shape what we can do because that will inform us of our resources.
What about putting something together in a letter and putting in it a self address stamp envelope, something like that? Mm-hmm. We could do something like that, get that survey out in the letter, give them a stamp to send it back to encourage people to answer the letter and put an input. They don't have to put their name or anything, but that would give you a feel as to at least the pulse of what's going on around here, you know?
We can do that. We can do it online.
Yeah, you could do that. Some of the older ones, they still like the letter.
Do you already have a survey that they're okay?
Yeah, I would love help doing that too. So that's the other thing, is I would love any help that we could get out of it, definitely.
Yeah, I think if we start with just kind of a draft idea of a survey and then, you know, get together and create one so it can get pushed out. And I do think having it being available both paper, pencil, and digitally will encourage the most participation, which is the ideal.
Okay.
Devaki, I think another thing there is education.
Yes.
On the other way. My daughter followed the ambulance over when Sue had her heart attack. Mm-hmm. The doctor said, if you had waited, we would probably be having, I mean, she went back to work the next Monday, but if they delayed or whatever, they would have been having another conversation. The same is true with strokes and other things. That, you know, immediacy is an issue. I mean, timeliness is an issue. I'm sure there's other things, but being an ignorant person, or excuse me, there are things I know I don't know.
All right, have we got a good start on that? I believe we do. Okay, thank you. All right, next is we received an email on tumbleweed problems. I'm giving this to Jimmy. It was quite interesting, though. He took me for this great ride yesterday around Boulder. I really learned a lot. It was really cool. And anyway, go ahead, hon.
So me and Corey went down and checked out Lower Boulder. The hard part about Lower Boulder burning down there is how close all the personal property is, private property right next to the fence line. We go down there and we start burning. The properties down there, the landowner could actually be there if we actually just like get a set date to actually go down there and help us out. If we're going to go down and burn along the roads, we'd like the landowner that's actually in charge of the property or something right there, just there so they can see exactly that we're actually trying to burn just the side of the road, because fire department starting a fire is not the best idea in the world anyway. And especially in many tumbleweeds that are down there, it is ridiculous down there. What we'd be doing if we did it, what me and Corey were talking about, is going down through there, burning just the side of Lower Boulder, not going on any of the private roads, unless you wanted to set that up different with the fire department on a different day. But this is just going down Lower Boulder and taking care of just the weeds on the main road there. I know we drove down Pete and Cookies Road down through there, and holy cow, I've never seen a 10-foot wall of tumbleweeds. That it's ridiculous down through there. There's also going up into the double ponds right there by BJ Miller's house. You can't even get into there if there's a fire up there. It's what me and Corey talked about. The double ponds, one of the places that the fire department can actually use the water to put out any of the fires that are up in there, because there's no fire protection up in there at all. That's one of the main areas that we would, that's one of the private roads that we would actually go in and take care of just for the fire fact, the fire protection on it. Anything else going down through there, we're going to stick straight to the side of the roads. And when we actually get a set date, hopefully it'll be pretty soon, just for the fact that we're starting to warm up anyway. So, yeah, if we can get down through there, but if we do come down through there, if the person's not, or if the person that lives there responsible for the property, if they're not there, we'll try to burn it like right up to the road, and that's it. We're not going to try to have anybody that they can toss anything in if we're sitting right there, or anything like that. So you have any questions for it?
Jimmy, so it'll be similar, like the last time, it was just a couple of years ago, we did the Lower Boulder, and it was just, we had a lot of people come out and do it, but we ended up stopping at Pete and Cookies Road. And so I would suggest that it might be more than one day to get the whole thing done, because then it never was rescheduled to get farther.
Right.
Because it started kind of up by Barsh's, and it went to about just before Pete and Cookies past Filers, and then it never got rescheduled. So just for that was a full day, and we only got that far.
Okay.
All right. Looks like we got a plan with the weeds.
Thank you.
All right. Let's talk about beginning our list for some projects that we want to get started. This is also going to filter over into some of this could possibly filter over into the ARPA funds. If it's okay with you, why don't I take ARPA now so that you kind of know where we stand with ARPA? And then as we discuss the funds, we can kind of go back and forth between the two. I talked to Taylor Kaufman with the state. I was kind of panic stricken because Jimmy and I both started reading the 400 page report called The Final Rule. And I got to page 16. He probably got further than I did. And I was like, oh my gosh, you've got to be an attorney to read this thing. We could have used Daryl on this, I'll tell you. So anyway, Steve sent me Taylor Kaufman's name, and I called him, and I'm thinking I'm going to be put on hold, or this is going to take, and he answered the phone. I was so excited, and he helped me so much. I could not believe it. The cool part about this is the money does not have to be obligated till December 31st, 24. So any time between now and then, we could use the money. And then another cool thing about it, there's five different ways that you can use the money. The first four don't really apply to us a lot, but number five will allow us to be able to use those funds. We've already got the 14,000, and we'll get another 14,217, I think. We got that on the first one last year, and then we'll get it again this coming summer. I think it's around June. I might be, but it's someplace close in that area. So anyway, a total of $28,523. I have to report on whether we use it or not. I have to put a report in by the end of April, which they're going to help me with. He said it's really simple. And the cool thing is I only have to report it as revenue replacement. I don't have to list receipts. I don't have to explain what we used it on. And he said that this last rule that they put out really opened it up so that people could use the money. And if you're under $10 million, we qualify, then we don't have to worry about receipts and stuff like that. Actually, it's $50,000 per receipts. And we're still under that. But making this last final rule really, really helped us. So in saying that, we've got the extra funds that we need to get spent in the budget, and then we're able to use this. And because we are so desperate in the area of getting our fire truck fixed, the pagers are absolutely number one. Now, I'm going to let Jimmy speak to that, but I kind of wanted to let you know what was going on with the ARPA funds, because we really can use those for anything like safety and fire, whatever we need to do that has to do with service. And it's called revenue replacement. That's what it goes under. So Jimmy, I'm going to let you, I'm going to let Jimmy let us know what's going on with the fire trucks and the pagers and things that we need. And then we'll add to our list. And this is, it's not all going to be resolved tonight, but I would like to get some idea. I mean, literally at least put four or five ideas down that we can start really working on. And then we can always add to it as we go along. So go ahead.
Okay, for the fire department, for the ARPA funds we were looking at, we've started going down to St. George for our fire school. We were looking at new extrication equipment, because the extrication equipment that we have right now is completely dinosaur. I'll put it that way. It takes us usually 30-35 minutes to set it up, if the generator even starts, to try to get the extrication equipment out. The new stuff that we want to get, it's a double battery, so rechargeable right there on the spot. It takes us 5 minutes to pull it out and you're ready, instead of 30 minutes trying to haul gasoline, generator, everything like that. That's one of the things we're looking at getting. We're also looking at getting new hose on the fire truck for the reel and for the supply lines in the back. Ours are pretty shot. After talking to the guy for the hoses, says, yeah, you know, hoses are only good for 10 years. And I asked him, I said, well, what happens after the 10 years? And he goes, you'll kill a firefighter. I'm like, all right, that's kind of a good reason to replace your hose. And then the other thing we need is new pagers and new radios. I think we were talking, we have about three radios or two radios, something like that, that actually work. And we're looking to get 10 radios and 10 pagers. We're actually looking to see, were these ones the pager and the radio? Did you see? Cool. So, the new cameras are looking at 10 of them. So if we could get 10 of those and cover the pagers and our radios for all of our EMS. Because right now, I know there's several people, so even on the fire department, they don't have a pager, they don't have a radio. It works just by hopefully your home when they call. So that's the three things that we really super need for the fire department. What we need now for the town hall is the AED, the defibrillator,
and yeah. You've all got copies of that. What the I made you copies of all these.
The one that we have now inside the town hall, the battery is completely shot and you cannot replace it. We tried to replace it, and the guy laughed at us for saying that how old it was. And so he sent us a new price on the refurbished one. The 5-year battery plan, everything with pads, batteries, and everything, it's $831.60. But that's for the one for in here, because right now there's nothing covering the town hall for an emergency.
Was that isn't that including the two extra batteries for the old one to go into the fire truck? Is that true?
No, this was just the one that
batteries are on
there. Yeah, the battery's here, but this is just for the one set. And this is for the inherent, the one.
The top price there, $550, that's to replace the one in here, the new updated one. And then there's two $90 charges, which would
be one for the battery here and there.
The two new batteries for the two old ones we have that we'd like to carry in the fire truck that aren't they're not approved. But we can still carry them and use them in emergency situations. But as far as having in this public building, in case somebody has a heart attack here tonight, we need the new one.
Okay.
So that is the price for the new batteries
and
the new unit.
Okay, and the AED. Okay, good.
Okay, so Jimmy, the pagers, did that include the ones for EMTs?
That's one of the 10 of them we were talking last night.
We haven't included any pagers or radios for EMTs. We don't, not that we have a problem with buying them for them, but it shouldn't be our responsibility. That's a county responsibility. And as bad as we want all our EMTs to also have radios that work, we really feel like the county should buy those radios for them. These are just fire department radios because the town is in charge of the fire department. But as far as I understand, none of the EMTs have radios, or maybe they have one radio.
Well, see, this is what I'm trying to get at, is because the ones that, quote, the county has been furnishing them. Now, maybe it's changed the last little bit. They were not getting service. So they were looking for a different kind. So then they would have service. So what I'm asking, okay, these that you're looking at, you get good service.
Yes, those get good service. For I tested one of those. I drove down to the road to Elizabeth's house down in Lower Boulder. I drove a couple different places. I did a radio check and a pager check, and they all work. These work. So that's why we thought we should get those.
Okay.
And go ahead, Judy.
It doesn't matter.
And that kind of goes back to DeBakke's, you know, whole issue is, you know, her idea is great, but we also need to encourage EMTs. Again, as always, it's, you know, seems to be our thing. But Silas is our only EMT who is taking all the classes to be an actual EMT. Andy and Karen have both taking partial classes and are running on the ambulance with Silas. That's part of the problem, like Vaki mentioned. With our current EMTs, we have to trade off ambulances once or twice in between here and Richfield or here in Bainbridge. So when we talk a little bit about maybe some sort of incentive plan for
to get your advanced
EMT in Boulder.
Yeah, talk about that, Jim.
We were talking last night at the fire meeting that if we could actually have EMT get like their advanced certification, talking about like a, I don't know, any just a bonus of some sort if they actually get it, to actually stay in Boulder with that certification. I don't know what the bonus would be. We're just throwing around numbers last night, but it's something that we definitely need to look at because we do need help on our services.
And I think maybe we can find that money in some of these funds.
In the ARPA funds.
We could do that. Also, the county, Jimmy talked to, who was it you talked to?
Jerry Taylor.
Oh yeah, Jerry Taylor. He talked to Jerry Taylor, and Jerry Taylor was very interested on the pagers. And what, and did you mention the radios to him?
No, I just talked about the pagers. He said there's money, or the county has money that we can actually apply for. We just got to get on their agenda for the pagers. So we could actually do that, see if we can get our EMTs some pagers over here too. So through Jerry Taylor.
I'm not against helping the EMTs.
If it's county, if we can get county money, why spend Boulder?
If we're going to put pressure on Jerry Taylor, we should put pressure on Jerry Taylor to put pressure on the county EMTs. There's no reason why we have radios to work in Boulder. The technology's there.
No. And I think it's really important that that is the thing that needs to get followed up on, is that the EMTs are a county responsibility and we need to go there first. And obviously it'd be really nice if it was the same radios for both fire and EMT, but to make sure that the county is being responsible and taking care of the EMTs. And in addition to the radios and stuff, it's the towers themselves need to be maintained. And I know 3-4 years ago, we did a ton of research and submitted it all both to the county and to the town council. And it was before I was even on town council. And that was something I was just going to bring up. And Corey, I assume you did this. And I only got this information just minutes before the meeting. But I assume that you, were you able to borrow radios from Peak, the two, the kind that you want? Did they lend them to you?
I have a couple of, like Jimmy said, we have three that are.
Oh, so you have the exact kinds you want.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That was all, because I was just going to say it was maybe four or five years ago. I know we went up and we bought, and Peak was willing to give 3 to 4 to borrow to make sure that they fulfilled the needs you wanted and that it wasn't just going off the paper. So that was all I was going to make sure, and to talk to people that had direct feedback that they really are covering the type of terrain and distance that we need in this community for the fire department. And that I assumed you had done all that. I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't just because they're the ones you currently have, but if there are other ones that are considered better, to borrow them first. And they were really open about that and making sure. And I know people were testing them in homes and just all around, just to make sure they picked out the ones they wanted. And that year these did all this and it took months, and then they submitted it to the county and they didn't get them, nor was the tower ever fixed. And so I think that's a big priority of following up on. But it also is the communication with the EMTs and, you know, having them follow up on it as well.
Yeah, we've got the new repeater. I think that's what you're talking about. I've got the repeater in the firehouse. Yeah. It's fixed and totally updated, and that's where I got it from. Okay. And they will still send out a radio. They'll do exactly what you said.
So, okay, that was all. I assumed that you had tested the ones you wanted, but that was my only question about it.
Yes, we did.
All right, so I think we should push the county for as much as we can get them to do. If there is an area that they won't jump in, then we already said we are, as a town, are going to make it a priority to make sure we have that equipment. This is just the.
So these are actually pagers on here, which when he put these down here, these radios right here are the ones with pagers built in. I'm assuming we need this. It would just be this.
So just be the top, the 2,750.
58, correct.
For 10.
Yeah, which is a very good price for 10 new radios that have pagers in them.
Okay.
I know, it blows me away. They're cheaper than the pagers themselves.
Yes.
All right. Well, we will get on the agenda.
Can I ask a question about the ADU that it would be in the town hall? Uh-huh. Jimmy, did you say it was refurbished?
Yes.
Did you look at any of the ones that have contracts that include updating the batteries? I know the one that is at the school, they have to come and service it and check it and make sure and maintain it. And so it came with a contract, so that way the battery is checked regularly and that they're responsible for replacing the battery if it is faulty or if it's not holding a charge any longer. And I don't know if it's worth making a comparison, because it does sound like a really good price on one, but as far as the longevity of it, if it's worth looking at and making comparisons.
Well, this is a 5-year.
I do think the town needs one. And so I think that's important, but it's just which one.
So this is a five year for the warranty on the battery, and okay. $550.
And send me the info on the one you have at the school.
And we'll look into it.
Okay.
I have the same company. It's just that he has.
And that's the other thing. Yeah, and that's the other thing I was going to say is, like, even similarly, like when the fire extinguishers get checked at the town, when they came through the last time, I asked them and I gave them your telephone number and contact directly, Corey. But I said it'd be really nice if when they checked our fire extinguishers, that was the same time as doing the town, because it's the same company. But I also think something that should be on our plan is making it a public date. So anyone that's in town that has home fire extinguishers, that they can bring them in and have them checked or traded out. And that was what I talked to those guys about. And they said they would love to do that. And if we could all coordinate that together, it'd be a really great service for the community, for everybody's home fire extinguishers.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, they do the Anasazi too the same day. So it would be good to
know. Yeah, and that's what the school's not on the same day. And it's silly that we don't coordinate it or at least do them two different times and put it out as a notice that the public can come and get their fire extinguishers checked the same day.
Okay. Well, that's good news, Jimmy. But that's a lot of money saved right there. I bet we could twist the county's arm and take care of that.
Okay, so Jimmy, now, so what is this? The total,
so those are just, those are the other quotes that we got for different.
Oh, just different.
Yeah, so the numbers look really big because okay. They sent us
the quote for three or four different.
Yeah, there's one thing that spreads and one thing that cuts. And in big departments, they have one of both. But for us, there's just one that cuts and spreads.
Okay.
And we were looking at the 28 inches.
Sort of highlighted that in there, so the number didn't seem so big. And I'll go back to them and have them give us just the quote for just what we want. I'll narrow that down so it's not four pages of $60,000 worth of equipment, because we only need $10,000 to $15,000 worth.
Okay, I think you got something marked here. Maybe that.
Yeah, Jimmy's marked some of those.
Okay.
And then the other company is not.
We were looking at this one, Lattice, for the $12,000 on it.
Yeah.
Did you find out if they have a lifetime warranty on the?
They do.
They do on it. So this is the better one out of all the ones we actually saw, because
okay.
It's not 90 pounds and you can actually, it doesn't take two people to pick it up.
Okay.
I just feel that maybe it's in here.
No, we just got quotes for all the different spreader cutter combos.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll narrow that down.
I just want to make sure everybody had all the prices, so that way.
I must be given one. Okay. So we will definitely make that a priority. Jimmy and I'll get with our commissioner, Jerry Taylor, and get on the agenda and get started, get that started and see if we can't get them to take care of the pagers.
And as far as the AED goes, if it's okay with the town, that $800 bill, I mean, I can call him tomorrow and get that shipped here so it's here in service.
So are you going to check with what Elizabeth had first, just to be on the safe?
I'll see if we're in with the same company.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if it wasn't, but I think that we should... you know, get yeah. that ordered, and they'll send a bill with it, so.
Yeah, okay.
Elizabeth, is it AED everywhere? Is that who's in charge of yours?
I don't know if I know the name off the top of my head, sorry. But I would say that I feel that we could say that we move forward and approve that with, you know, with the, you know, giving Corey some leeway to make a couple calls to see, and if it is significantly different price thing, that we can still say that he can then make that choice, but that we say that it's something that needs to be purchased in an expense that the town's covering tonight, and so that way Corey can move forward and not wait a month.
All right,
I feel comfortable with that.
That's what I was going to say, the same thing.
Yeah,
so make that motion, Elizabeth.
Make a motion.
So I make a motion that we approve the fire department purchasing an ADU with the quote, but that at the same time, Corey will explore other options before making a final decision, but it ultimately will be to his discretion.
Do I have a second?
Gladys will second.
All in favor?
Gladys, aye.
Steve, aye.
Judy, aye.
Elizabeth, aye.
Okay, it's unanimous. We got the AED coming. All right, so we've talked about the pagers and we've got that taken care of. What else do you want to make a priority on our list? Gladys?
Well, it looks like to me, if we're talking about the fire hazard, that the fire department's going to have to burn the weeds. Maybe we need to look at something. Does the town need to be, because they're just going to grow back. So we'll have the same problem next year. So does the town need to look at something so we do more mowing along the sides of our city streets?
I was wondering about a bush hog, but Jimmy said that the water company would do it and then we'd pay the water company because they have a bush hog.
We already have the bush hog for the tractor.
That would definitely be the way to go, is once we burn it, if we did a little follow-up in the spring and the fall, then... that would maybe solve the roadway problem,
But it's not fixing.
The bigger problem with the tumbleweeds is just, you know, the sheer area down there, and there's nothing we can do about it. The landowners try, but like he said, you know, that Daniel Kennedy fence, where did all those tumbleweeds even come from?
It is amazing how thick they are in there.
Well, because we had, because we had late summer rains. That really just...
Yeah, and so that's, you know, Lower Boulder, maybe in this thing we're going to organize to burn, you know, maybe they should also discuss, like, them all, you know, they need to do something like we're going to do in the spring and the fall to try to...
Right.
I think tumbleweeds have probably been a problem for years and we don't have to get rid of, but... Maybe there's something.
Well, you just don't have a whole lot of cattle grazing that kind of kept it down.
Yeah.
We weren't bad. Yeah. So,
but I think that's maybe, and also around our garbage cans and that, make sure that we keep.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Should we, you were talking about, Gladys, about doing something with the garbage cans over there when we were talking about the money last time. You got any idea what?
I wish they might come up with some ideas so they looked a little more attractive.
We have to get that one moved, right?
Yeah, we're moving. We're going to call the county and get them to move the one dumpster over by the Anasazi. It's right on the right-of-way of the Garcane Power, so it's got to be moved.
Oh, okay.
That one over there, but I'm with you. We need to do something. Let's think about that. We'll address the other things, but I mean, we could clean that out. We could even hire Sam to come in and clean that out and give us an idea what it would cost to clean that out and move those, because that really is a mess.
And then maybe on this side of the fence, on our town grounds, maybe we need, I haven't looked up there to see if that's a problem too, up on the north end, we have a lot of weeds and grass and up there.
Yeah, the willows are coming in pretty heavy up there. There's a pile of rocks that we brought in years ago that kind of doesn't help the weed situation there.
Okay, well.
So, and I think we've kind of talked about doing something, you know, some kind of a road or something to cover the quote driveway along here on this side of the building. We looked at something, maybe not pavement, maybe the, I call it pre-sack. What is it called? They put on the roads, like going out to Boulder Mesa. I can't remember what it's called.
Creosote
or something like that, you know.
Yeah. All right.
Has her hand raised.
Who's, okay, whose hand is up?
Elizabeth.
Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Well, Gladys, are you finished?
Yeah.
Oh. one of the things that I had thought of is as far as something that we could look back into, I know a couple of years ago it was discussed of putting an external access point on the community center for internet that would give a pretty large radius around the community center with internet access, and it would allow the EMTs there. All their paperwork is moved digital and they're on a tablet and they can't even do them in their little shed thing. I don't know, wherever the ambulance, whatever that thing's called. It would allow it too for the public to have access and have a place to use internet that isn't necessarily always relying on businesses or the town hall being open. And I know Michaela and Peg, you might be able to speak of this because I think you went to some of those meetings, but Michaela had asked me questions, but I think that it's something worth looking into of setting up internet access that supports more people in the community as a public internet.
Hey, Elizabeth, I already talked to Dave about this. He's going to take, it was going to get brought up on my meetings, talk to him about getting a booster put on the outside of the town hall right here facing the fire department, and then he'll put a receiver inside the fire department so that way the whole firehouse will be covered with the same internet from the school or from the town hall.
I just wanted to make sure it was a priority of money.
In doing that, we probably need to upgrade the service of the town hall, because right now we're
and that's what we were looking at And I think even having, if you put in both an additional internal access point and an additional external access point, and it having a large, you know, not just the booster on the side of the building. And Dave was part of these conversations previously, but, and then being able to have two different accounts, you know, so that there's a public entity one that would be something guest. And then there's one that Judy and Peg and people that are using it for the office purposes, it's a secured network.
We bumped that up to 50 megabytes when I, about a week ago, Dave came in and did some work in the office for us. And because we were trying to get that situated, I meant to tell you about that. I didn't even put that on the agenda. Got it home.
It's still only 15.
Shouldn't be.
It is.
All right, we're making a phone call tomorrow.
But it sounds like everyone's in agreement that we should look into options and figure out the best thing to move forward to make sure that we have adequate internet on the outside of the building.
I agree.
Okay, we'll get Dave involved in that and see if we can't get those boosters and what it would run to do the other one. And then we'll bring it back to the council and make sure that we get it approved once we have all the dollar amounts put in place. Okay, so that takes care of that part. Anything else, Elizabeth? You said you had two things, did you?
No, that was my thing that I had thought of to bring up.
Okay, and Jimmy, you said something about something to cover your hoses when you're out on the... mention that?
No, I did not. They're actual road braces, so you can put them in down in the middle of the road and... they have 4-inch gaps in them. You lay your hoses down it so you can have semi-trucks drive over top of your hoses, fire, or any kind of vehicles. So that way you don't have to actually stop and hook your hose from the fire hydrant to let them drive by. So they're, I think, $200 a piece, something like that.
And what you need to?
Yes.
All right, put that on your list and we'll add that. The thing I would like to see happen, I'd like to see Boulder get some new sound. Signs on both ends of the town. You go to other towns and they have some of the coolest signs, and so we could have a contest to see what we want, or we could figure it out ourselves and see what we like. You know, being that we're in Boulder and we have all these red rocks around, the one going through Levan, I thought, I love that sign going in there, but that's just me. So if anybody has any ideas, but I really would like to see some signs. So we could put that maybe on the list also, maybe toward the bottom. We want to get this stuff taken care of. And that was one thing I wanted to ask you about. To me, this is my thought, the big stuff for the fire department, I think, should come out of the ARPA funds. That's what I'd like to see. But I want your opinion and see what you think about that. We'll see if see if we can get the county to take care of the pagers. But this other stuff could fall under the ARPA funds, and at least the first round of the ARPA funds, I think.
So how much? But we get fire money every year too, right, yeah. Judy? Okay, so is it not enough to cover that? You need additional?
Well, so the money, the ARPA funds are from the government for COVID relief funds. So this isn't even part of our budget. This is just stuff that we have for emergency funding to replace different emergency equipment different stuff like that. Yeah, so this isn't coming out of our actual budget. So.
That's what I'm asking. Yeah. You're not wanting it to come out of your budget.
No.
Okay.
So then we could fall through, you know, if it was more than that, then we could do that. You know, we could take it out of the fire if we had to. But since we've got those funds, we don't want to lose them. We might as well use them. And we got 4 years to do them. But, you know, where they have such a demand on the fire truck and stuff right now and repairing the hoses. And Jimmy didn't tell you didn't you tell me you had a hole in one of the hoses?
Yeah, a couple of those.
So anyway, so we'll take care of that, pagers and that, and maybe we'll start with that, see where we go with the funds, and Has anybody got any other ideas that they'd like to take care of right now that might be like an emergency type thing, that first things first, other than the pagers and the fire trucks?
I was just going to say, Jimmy, at some point, if you want to connect and touch base, I did a little bit of the research on some of the internet stuff, if, and I can pass it on to you or just share it with you.
Okay, cool.
All right, well, we'll leave that at that. Sounds like we got a good start, so. Let's see, the Wilson complaint. Okay, the issue other than the complaint has been the road. Is it a town road? When I went to find out the plat map for the county, they're two entirely different maps. And not only that, when Jimmy took me over and we took a look at the road, the actual marker on the road puts that road a lot wider than, I mean, in order to take the 60 feet, it's not going to be a good thing. We're going to have to get a surveyor in here and get it surveyed if we have to go that route. But the first thing I want to do is make sure that our plat map, we do not have paperwork that shows that we let that road go. So for all practical purposes, that is a town road. I just want to make it legal both ways. I want the county to show the same map, plat map, that our plat map shows, and it doesn't. And so when I asked Caden, I said, well, certainly there's got to be something. What happened? And he said, it just disappeared. So I couldn't go last Wednesday. I was sick that week, and I just didn't want to share the love, so I zoomed in. But this next meeting, I'm going in. I'm going to take our plat map. I'm getting this road situation for the town straightened out one way or another so that we all know where we stand on that road. And if we survey that road, if we get that road surveyed, Jimmy showed me the marker and where the it's been there for how long, did you tell me?
We found it when we were digging up our water line in 2015. I don't know when it was put there.
So it's a legitimate marker for that road. And of course, without getting it surveyed, we don't exactly know. But if you shoot a straight shot from that marker down, it goes right through Donna Jean's property, her carport. It goes over into Bob's yard on the other side. So
that whole entire area, right from where the survey mark, if we could actually find it again, the whole survey mark, it puts it 15 feet down farther to the south and going straight all the way up. So your mom's whole garage is all completely in the middle of the road. Your trailer that you have back there is in the road. The little shed that's back there on the thing is all in the road. The fence line, everything is all in the road. And if we're actually going to open it up and make everybody move stuff off of the road, that includes everything off of the road. So if that's the way that it wants to be pushed, then it's going to get ugly for anybody and everybody, because that's not just the only road in town that's in question. There's another road right below you that on your mom's property that goes through right there next to Howard Church's old place. That road right there comes all the way down through. And Andy Rice is looking at opening that road up because he has property down there. So there's different stuff, right? The whole entire area for roads, period, in Boulder. They're kind of a joke that no, hardly any of them are right where they're supposed to be. So
what I would like to do first is get the road situation, make sure that it's a town road and that it is recorded with the county so that we're not looking at two different maps.
So you're talking about, now you're talking about the road running north and south? Or east
and west. Mm-hmm. East and west.
Okay.
Going right there past Corey's place and, you know, that road going down there. But so anyway, it's not going to get taken care of right this minute. We want to get the road taken care of first. And I hope y'all agree with me on that. We want to get it. I want to make sure the county is and our plat map is the same. Because Jimmy was talking to Randy, and where they put, don't you tell him?
Our main line.
Yeah,
the main line. We have a main line that goes straight down the middle of that road. Well, the middle of where it's supposed to be, the middle of the road, going straight down through there, and then stops and cuts across. And right above Scotty Mitchell's old place, right there, we have the fire hydrant right there. So that is where, when we put our water line in, that's where the property was actually. We were told that's where the property was put in. So we went off of the corner of Scotty's old place right there. That's the closest point that we can actually find. I couldn't find an actual survey marker there to where it tells it, but if you go from right there, straight over and straight down towards the thing, it cuts right through the middle of the parking lot of Canson Quarries. And then 60 feet over from the corner of that, going all the way over, puts it about 50, almost 15 feet inside your mother's property for the whole entire road.
Those roads need to be addressed.
So they do need to be addressed.
But so that's where we stand on the road right
and
now.
And Judy, I remember it's probably been 20, 25 years ago. There was some problems about surveys, you know, original surveys, and now with the modern equipment we have. There was some discrepancies, not just in Boulder. I know Tropic had some problems. So maybe that's where some of this comes from. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you guys, truthfully, I just want to see this thing resolved peacefully. If we find out that that's the situation, it's not going to be good for everybody, you know? So we caught it. I mean, we really are a town that I've watched this town, even though we all have different ideas and we don't all agree about everything, we're still a community that cares. And I'd like to see this thing resolved somehow without affecting so many people. Because if we survey this and we go with the surveillance of this road and it really looks that way, it's 60 foot wide on the plat, of the town plat. You go measure 60 feet and see where that road goes. And it's wide. So I'm believing, I don't care. I'm believing we're going to get this thing worked out peacefully. But I am going to address the road. I'm going to make sure that we're legal with where our plat map is and where the county is so that we know what we're doing. Okay? All right. So that's that. And guess what, Elizabeth? I covered that this month. That's up that poor thing twice, Liz. Okay. The landfill. Jimmy, we just barely got those. I didn't get a chance to read them. The only, we got to make sure what goes into that landfill from people out of the town is the stuff that can go into the burn pit. Absolutely no construction can go into that landfill from out of the
county.
Boundaries of Boulder Town. Judy, well, no, we got to read through it. We just barely got that tonight. Now, I don't want to guess. So I know up till now they've been taking washers and stuff like that from people out of our boundary limits. As a personal note, I don't have a problem with it, but we got to stick with whatever it says. So we're going to go ahead and read this on the landfill again to make sure what we're doing is legitimate. Okay. So I think for right now, I'm going to let Dean use his discretion on any simple things that come in, like maybe a washer, maybe a mattress, until we know for sure. Unless you want to take time and we can read through it right now. What do you want to do?
Go ahead and send us whatever.
Okay, so and then we can read it and address it next month. So, but we mainly have to make sure that anything construction, this is where the problem started, was from down at the building that burned down. Down there where Robert Owens is, and they wanted to be able to bring that metal in. And there were, I think Dean said there were supposed to be 5 dump truck loads coming in.
And so we stopped that. And I talked to him when he came into the store. I told him, no, they got to do whatever, but you can't bring that in, that much metal into the dump. It's a building. It's a big commercial. Well, you know, it's a great big building down there. It's part of the LLC for Sean Owen. So anyway, so we addressed that, but that's where this landfill thing started. So we just kind of wanted to reiterate and say, nothing comes into our landfill except from anyone outside of down in the drawer, wherever, unless it goes into the burn pit. So nothing goes into the construction pit. And Judy did read that part to me, and that part is part of that letter.
Peg just said all construction materials in town are ours, so to be put in the walls.
Is what? Let me put on my glasses.
Sorry.
All construction materials in town are out. What is that? Oh, it moves. It's supposed to be put. Yeah, if it has anything to do with building or anything like that, any construction, any big construction stuff.
There's no dumpsters. Okay, Judy, I think at one time, and I don't know whether we ever enforced this, we tried to make it part of the building permit. When you get a building permit,
right,
you have to hire, you have to get one of those roll-offs, is that what they call
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It has to be on site.
That's already on the county's building permit, too.
Well, and that's what, see, because
it's on the county, so
we go, okay, well, we wanted, I think that we talked about yeah. making sure that the county enforces, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Since well, we go through the, I don't know, maybe it got lost in the step going to the county.
Okay. We'll double check that and make sure. But that was my thought, too, that had to happen. And we really need to watch what's going into the dumpsters. I'm really asking everybody, use common sense, because I've seen stuff in there that does not belong in those town dumpsters. It belongs in the landfill, in the construction pit. So, okay, let's move on. We talked about the ARPA.
I'm a visitor, but can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
So anybody in the county needs to go to Johns Valley?
If it's stuff that would go into the, yeah, then it has to. Yeah. Then it has to. It can't go into the construction.
Let us pay a fee to avoid that. And if I could just make this statement, in some ways I'm a visitor, so that's Betsy, the last loan she took over in Denver cost $65 in the back of the resume.
Yeah.
So the charge is not out. So would you allow us to?
I don't know. We'd really have to talk about that and discuss it. Because then you've got to, what we'd have to do is worry about where the collection of the money, how do we determine everything? We kind of just went over that a little bit. We didn't go into detail with it. So it's something, once we read this, we can bring it up and see, but I think it would kind of be a hard thing to do. I don't know. And yet I understand, Keith, I really understand your part of it. We would have to figure out what we could do. So, and bring it up to the town.
Can I just ask, how many of you in this room driven over to the county landfill in Johnsville?
What was the question?
How many of us have driven over to Johns Valley to the county dump? It is. It's a 2-hour trip.
Well, and I think something that we, you know, so what Gladys brought up was the roll-offs, right? Those are required for all construction materials, whether it's in town or outside of town. Right. And if what we're talking about is that county residents are paying the same fees for taxes for the landfill as town people, is that what is being discussed? And so then therefore, why are they being charged to use the landfill?
Well, they were wondering.
They're paying the same fees that if you're paying the same fee in town or out of town, for the landfill, shouldn't they be able to use it the same discretion as in town?
You know what, Donna Jean told me that those that the money that we pay on the garbage goes toward the county landfill. They have to put some kind of a plastic, something on the bottom of that landfill to so that whatever is brought in there doesn't seep through the ground. And so she was telling me, because she thought the same thing, but she talked to somebody in the county, and that's literally where our taxes that we pay go, is to Johns Valley, not to ours.
So what Elizabeth's saying is if everybody pays that exact same tax for the county to come over to the dump, then should the county people be, if they're already paying the tax, the same tax as we are they welcome to put stuff in the town dump?
Yeah.
Correct, but Elizabeth?
Yes. And that, I mean, and that needs to be addressed, because we need to come to the bottom of that, right? Because if they're paying the same in as the town, why should then they also have to pay on top of it to travel all the way over to the county dump, right? Because that's a huge expense to get there.
We could discuss it and try to figure something out. Go ahead.
I think one of the things you're not recognizing here is there's a difference between those out there and just taking the John Valley, which is somewhere under those fees we're already paying and what they're paying in the county. I think what the issue is the stuff that's going in the ground. That the town owns that ground or picks up the ground. The stuff that gets burned, I don't think that's an issue, but that stuff's been printed in the ground, construction materials for this is around the county or wherever. I think that's a real issue. And all you gotta do, if anybody's been around here for even 20 years, you can go out and see, we are filling that landfill up awfully fast.
The stuff that's not getting burned, the county comes and hauls off, and that's what we're all paying into, is for the county to come and haul it all off for us. They're supposed to, right?
He's handled the stuff that actually gets put into the construction pit. That's the stuff that we need to actually really be worrying about, because it isn't the stuff that.
Yeah.
Washer, the dryer, because the county comes over and gets that stuff anyway, or Dwight's comes over and gets all of the metal. But the mattresses, right? The mattresses and stuff like that, the county comes and gets.
Yeah, they're supposed to come. Donna Jean said they're supposed to come over twice a year, but they haven't been coming over twice a year to pick that up.
So you're talking about this stuff that is not burnable and not haulable. That's what we're talking about.
Construction pit.
Okay. Yeah.
So why don't we dig into this, find out all the ins and outs of it, and then we will address it again next month and see what we can come up with. And because I get it, Keith, I understand. So but we've got to move on and get this done. So keep that look.
Sometimes you do something, but you don't get what you think you're going to get. And sometimes there are unintended consequences. And in this case, I don't think I certainly haven't made a survey, but very frequently the dumpsters are full, and very frequently there is construction material in the dumpster.
That's right.
So we have construction material that's being hauled over 2 hours to Johns Valley. And I believe I could go to the county and get some more funds if, in fact, it might reduce or stop further, an increase in the number of dumpsters here. Because I do believe that rather than go too long, I think there's people who put stuff in the dumpsters that shouldn't be there because they don't want to go to the landfills. And if you think there isn't going to be an increase by people going to Jones Valley, I believe that should stop.
All right, well, we'll go ahead and put it on the agenda for next month. And we'll dig. Okay. Oh, you got it? Okay.
One of the things that's on here, Keith, that a lot of it'll answer you, says it's number 6 on our landfill dumpsters. It's bagged and tied construction demolition waste, density less than 50 pounds per cubic foot that is generated in a residential establishment that is not subject to a building permit, can be placed in a county dumpster.
no construction demolition waste longer than 3 feet in any dimension can be placed in a county dumpster. So if you see like pieces of sheetrock in the dumpster, different things like that, as long as it's not over 3 feet, and they didn't have, like, you're just tearing out stuff in your house and it's nothing bigger than 3 feet, according to this, you can actually put it in there if it wasn't caused from a building permit, if you're trying to do anything like that. So
I'm saying I would appreciate your review of that, because that makes it so there's garbage on the ground because of all the tourists going to the construction material. And I don't believe that personally. It's the point of fact that Judy all falls off. But
okay, well, you can make another comment. You can make, we got to move on, you guys. Make a comment on the end, because we will address this again. This is not finished, okay? We will address these problems and talk about it. We'll get with the county. We'll see what we can do. Donna did tell me, she said, one of the things she said, I had a really good visit with her about the dump the other day, the landfill. And she did tell me, she said, we should be able to use that landfill for another 20 to 30 years. But she did say, the problem is with not guessing how long is because they run into sandstone sometimes when they're digging at 2 and 3 feet. So, but that was her comment. She's been at that landfill forever. So we'll talk about this and see what we can come up with, because I really do see that problem. I mean, it's a 2-hour drive. If we can come up with some kind of fee or something, or work something out, then we'll try to do it. You're going to have to save your comments, though, guys, or we're going to be here forever. So save them till the end, and then you can put them. So, okay. Next, I want to tell you about Utah Title Insurance. They're coming out. When we had the audit in November, our auditor suggested that we could save some good money by going to this Utah Title Insurance. They insure so many towns in Utah, little, big. So Judy and I are meeting with them next Thursday at 11 o'clock. And we're going to give them the information that we have. And then we will also go back to Olympus, who our insurance is through right now. Let them know what we're doing and see who will give us the best policy for the best price. So anyway, I just kind of wanted to let you know that's where we were at right now with our insurance. All right, we're down to the checks. So did everybody take a look at the checks? Have you got any questions? Let me do it, my name. Right here.
Judy, are those only available in there in person?
What's that?
The checks.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't get it.
It's okay. I just won't vote on this one. It's okay. There's enough people.
Okay. Sorry. I thought we got you a picture of that one. Okay. So let's take a look at the checks. Don't see anything. Looks good to me. Anybody got any questions about
it? Okay, so did we get new computers?
That's
yes.
Okay. Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay.
We did get new computers, and Peg got them. Peg put it in this week. Tomorrow, Judy and I are coming down and getting Polaris loaded onto the new computer, and we're getting the printer. We're going to call the printer place so that we can get that connected up to the computer. And so then hopefully that will take care of that problem. Anything else?
I'll make a motion. We accept the minutes as presented.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Gladys, aye.
Steve, aye.
Jim, aye.
Judy, aye.
She's listening.
Oh, that's right. I apologize. Okay. All right. It is. Yep. It is.
We have zoning administrator.
Do what?
The zoning administrator.
Oh, yes. I talked about that at the beginning. You mean
you don't want to skip it?
Oh, that was April I talked to earlier. So we're going to go ahead and advertise it for a new zoning administrator. April is moving on to Wyoming, doing something really fun. She is here till the 1st of March, and she will help me learn to set up all the stuff. And hopefully, Peg, you can take over on that end, if you would, till we can get somebody to fill in. She will also, if by chance we don't have anyone by the time she leaves, she said that she would be more than glad to help out online and do whatever she can do till we find somebody. So I think we pretty well have it covered. She's so knowledgeable. I hate to lose her, but it is what it is. And we will find somebody. So we'll get the message out. You guys look around. See, Steve said he talked her into it. Maybe we can talk somebody else into it. So anyway.
I'm curious. Oh, I just wanted to be to brainstorm if we don't find someone, at least in that month period of advertising only, because it was so challenging this last round. How much of the work, and I don't even know if this is a realistic ask, April, of what you're doing, but is any of it able to be done remotely as interim until we find somebody if needed? Since a lot of paperwork, and I don't know, and I just don't know if it's worth us discussing as a town council if we even want to think about that as an option, but just knowing how long it took us to fill Michela's position and not wanting to be without for a little while.
A majority of it can be done online as long as I have the support of Judy and Peg to do the physical paperwork kind of things. That needs
to be done. And I don't think that's an ideal one. If having some kind of backup might be nice for us as a town council.
Yeah, push come to shove. How do you feel about that? Anybody got any questions about that if we have to go that route? Hopefully we're going to get someone.
Yeah, let's just make sure we advertise good. So
yeah, it'll be out tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're going to get it out tomorrow for sure. We were hoping we could find her a house and keep her here, but it didn't work out that well, so. And she'd already got her a job. So anyway. All right. Anything else, Elizabeth, on the zoning administrator? Are you good? Before we move into the department reports? Okay. All right. Elizabeth, you want to go first?
Sure. Let's see. Oh boy. Let's see. Planning Commission had a very long meeting this last month. there was a lot going on, but a lot of it they are working on ordinances. Let's see. We have quite a few planning commissioners on. If any of them are willing and wanting to jump in and say anything, please feel free during this. Let me pull up. I had a little note page. I'm going to pull that up. I wasn't quite ready, sorry. I apologize. If someone else is ready and wants to jump in, I'm pulling up my notes, sorry.
Jimmy, you want to go? And the reason that I would want you to go is because I just want you to address that report that you and your dad have with Jones and DeMille. Yeah.
So Boulder Farmstead's actually doing a 40-year study on our water. Well, it's Johnson Mill through Boulder Farmstead. And it's not completed yet. We were hoping that it was going to be completed. They still had a bunch of stuff wrong, like how many people lived in the subdivision, how many meters we had, different things like that. So we had to correct a bunch of the stuff. But as soon as I get that full report, I can actually have it to where we can have something kind of for our hydrologic study that we have going, because the whole thing with the hydrologic study that we found out is that Boulder Town will not receive any grant money whatsoever for any kind of study, because Boulder Town does not own Boulder Farmstead. It's an actual separate entity. And so they will not grant any kind of grant money. And the other thing is, if the hydrologic study that we're actually looking at doing, as the town, like not the one that Boulder Farmstead, but the other one, it has to include all private wells, everything like that. So the town would actually have to buy meters to put on private wells and then have them paid to put in. And it's a royal pain just to do it. And John Giles, I know he's already super busy. I was talking to Matt a little bit with him, but we've had to work with him with Boulder Farmstead. So the whole thing that we have, and I think it'll come out next month. I should have it. So, but it has a whole entire water study on just Boulder Farmstead's water. It's not including, like I said, any of the private wells or anything like that. So it's a weird study because it doesn't actually give us the whole entire aspect of what we're actually looking at for the water itself. Because I know there's several people with their own private well that if they have the hydrant and they have it and they can pay to pump the water, then they're pumping the water and it's just running down the road. So, and that's a lot of private wells. So that's nothing that we can take advantage of, or it doesn't help us any. It doesn't hurt us on our study. I just know that it's not a full conducted study just for the fact that the private wells.
So what do we want to do with this, with the hydrology study? Should we have the PC table it till we get this from Jimmy and have them hold off on that hydrology study? Jimmy was also telling me that 85%, what were you telling me? What percent of Boulder is on culinary water?
It's around 83 to 85%, and that's just the wells that the state has that we found state listed. So, and that's just for Boulder residents itself.
Okay.
So there's a class that I have to go take at the end of this month for cross connection contamination that is going to fall into. If you have a private well and you also have Boulder Farmstead water, you cannot have it connected to the same point. Like I was explaining to Judy, if you have your house, you have your well coming into your house, you cannot have Boulder Farmstead's water coming into your house and along with your own private well going into there. State's making it mandatory where there has to be a break in that system. So there's no way possible for a private well to actually be able to contaminate Boulder Farmstead's water. So anybody with a well and Boulder Farmstead, you're going to be seeing me at the end of
and that March. Affects us because ours in. So I let my husband know that. So we're just going to have to make two lines going in, one so that it doesn't do that.
And this isn't by Boulder Farmstead standard. This is all state. It's mandatory for us to get certified in the cross connection contamination. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no arguing with it. And this is, like I said, straight from the state. So.
All right. So since we did bring up things for the planning commission, then we'll make this part of that motion that they discontinue the hydrological study, that they table it for a while till we get this report and see exactly where we stand. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Jim, aye.
Steve, aye.
Gladys, aye.
Judy, aye.
Elizabeth, aye.
Okay. It's unanimous. So we will send that on to the planning commission. And so, Jimmy, did you say you didn't have anything else?
No, everything else I covered.
Okay, earlier. Steve?
Still learning. I've got nothing to report.
Okay. It's early in the year, too. So, Ann Elizabeth, did you find it?
Yes, I'm all ready to go. Okay. Let's see. So going back to the planning commission, they were able to elect a chair and vice chair last meeting. They also did their ethics training. They had one CUP that went through for a short-term rental. They also were able to use their new checklist for the first time and as a live thing and not as a demo. Going over for an RV park, and it was a rocky start, but I think that it was a nice learning opportunity for a lot of the new planning commission members. They did continue their discussion at that point on the hydrology study. And then they also continued a discussion on the subdivision streets versus roads and roads versus streets. And their next meeting will be on Thursday, February 10th. That one happened. Let's see what else is going on. The Boulder Arts Council has a new gallery show that is up in the community center now. Those of you that are in the building, I assume, have gotten to see it. And there's an opening this week. There's an opening this weekend with Amy Woodbury being present as the artist. And that is all I have to report. The only thing I was going to say is, Jimmy, did you want to bring up that Karen wanted some reimbursements for as an EMT?
Yes, I have. Did you get? Yeah, I got that email.
Okay. And Tennessee. It can be something that we discuss next time, because I think we're going to have to approve it. So it's going to have to be an item, agenda item. But just that came in and it's sent to me, and I forwarded it on to Jimmy as well. But Karen took some things and needs to get some reimbursement to continue being an EMT for the town. And at least as far as I was under the impression, she has a current EMT and so does Silas. And so we do have those two. But that contradicts what Corey said, and he might be more accurate in what he knows on Karen's current EMT licensure.
Sure, you don't have it over there? See if Steve's got it. Maybe we have extra ones over here. Maybe this is it. Okay, so does that, do we need to make a motion on approving that?
No, it's that's the one we're agenda for. It has to be pre-approved.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right, because
it has to be in order for us to approve it.
Okay, that's right, because
so she has if, and just when we do next month's agenda, we just need to make sure that gets put on.
Okay, we will do that. Gladys, did I get to you?
Right, but I don't really have anything.
Okay.
Ask questions.
Well, that leaves me. I did not get to go to the Tree City meeting. I happened to have the Garfield Planning Commission the same day. So, but they sent me an email, and they're inviting people to participate in the 2022 hands-on tree pruning workshop. It's led by a Fritz Moslin. He's a horticulturist, and Wayne Hanks, and they're from Capitol Reef National Park. The tentative dates is either March 2nd on Wednesday or Saturday, March 5th. They want people to bring masks, work gloves, warm layers. They're going to do pruning. I'm kind of excited. I told my hubby about it, and he was kind of excited about it too. So we will be there. A notebook, water, lunch, snacks. Boulder Tree City has tools to lend, but if you have some, you can bring them. Sounds like a really cool thing. We thought about going to last year's, but we didn't make it. Pam is also working on acquiring a 10-foot Stokes orchard ladder to be able to prune taller trees. Over to the park, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure it's over to, I think, I'm not 100%. They're gonna send out more, they'll send out a notice once they get a little bit closer to it and finalize the date and let you know. It'll be out on pegboard, so keep an eye out there, okay? We did that. Oh, the signatures for Mountain America. What, that has been like pulling teeth. The young man we were working, Judy sent a letter and somehow it got lost. So then when we called and got hold of this young man, and he said that he was going to send out an email to Gladys and to me and to Steve, to take Steve off, and then for you and me to re-sign, to sign the checks along with Judy. And that never happened. Come to find out, he got COVID. So I talked to him again today. He sent me one thing to sign. I'm going to give him a call tomorrow. I just didn't have time to finish the whole thing up today. So I'll call him tomorrow. We've got to get this resolved. But I think we're halfway there. Is that safe to say? Yeah. Yeah, so Steve's still signing checks with Gladys because we haven't been able to change that. Garfield Planning Commission. Like I said, I zoomed into that. 2021-1 zoning ordinance amendment. It was a long one. They did not change a ton of stuff, but it was on unincorporated areas of Garfield County. Caden went through all that. It was a good cleanup. They're really trying to clean things up. It's been quite the thing. CAFO, the 2022-2, the CAFO, concentrated animal feeding operation, we tabled it. It is such, we figured out what we wanted to do, then we sent it on to the commission, then they send it back. So we changed it, send it on to the commission again. Something happened, we had to change something else. So Caden finally got it done, and we actually were gonna approve it, but it's been such a hard thing to do because you wanna encourage agriculture, to keep agriculture going. You don't want pigs near your people with huge pig farms and cow farms, but it's agriculture. And I get it. It's the downwind problem. I mean, it's one of those situations that is a hard one to figure out. So what they said, there was another town that tabled theirs, and so for right now, CAFO was tabled in Garfield County. If the state presses us and says, if you don't put something together, then we will do it for you, we've got it all ready to go and they can just bring it back up and we can pass what he did. But so that's kind of the way the CAFO is sitting.
So short, I think Judy, it initially was tabled January and then they passed it February 1st. It was tabled on January 24th and then passed February 1st.
Of this year?
Yeah, I believe so.
Because
it was an emergency meeting county commission held an emergency meeting on Tuesday, February 1st and passed the CAFO after they had tabled it on January 24th.
Okay. They kind of thought that might happen.
There was a February 1st deadline that they had to meet, so they had an emergency meeting.
All right, cool. All right, well, that's news to me because they didn't send me anything on it. So, cool. I guess the commissioners don't have to, huh? All right, so we did two short-term rentals in Panguitch. We approved those. We did CUP for a primitive campground in Bryce. Welcome to new planning commission member, Tony Dinges. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. He's from Hatch, which is going to be interesting because we do a lot of short-term rentals in Hatch. I was appointed vice chair for the planning commission, kind of by default. So anyway, and that's about it for the county. Elizabeth, did you mention the fact that on recharging the units for both the school and the community center, did you talk about that earlier and when you were talking about the other stuff?
Recharging the fire extinguishers?
No.
No, I didn't mention that, sorry, because I didn't get any more information, but I contacted. So when the air purification system that's in the community center is the same one at the town hall, or I mean, that's the same thing. Is it the same one as at the school? I apologize. So when I contacted them, because it was time for me to have them come and do the annual maintenance and report on it, I included Judy on the email and said, at the same time that you maintenance it, can you also please contact and reach out to the town and have the town's maintenance at the same time?
Okay.
I know
okay.
that they weren't installed at the same time, but it might as well get them back on so that they're coming over and we're following up on both systems. So he just wrote back that he would get back in touch with and then include you, Judy, but there's no date on that. And whenever that happens, it'll reach out to both Todd, the custodian at the school, and Corey for the town, just like it was before Corey.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, I think that's pretty well taken care of the agenda, so we might as well go into public comments. So anyone with a public comment, raise your hand or... Quiet? No public comments? Nothing? We probably put them all to sleep. All right. Well, it's been a good meeting. I want to thank everybody for coming. Should we make a motion to adjourn this?
Steve, why don't you do that?
I make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Aye. Elizabeth?
Elizabeth, aye.
Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you, everybody, for coming.
I heard about that, but I heard he got some of your chickens.
He did.
I was thinking, gee, I sure hope other jobs and fences.